We now bring to these microphones David James, who's going to join me in a conversation that will focus on an issue that the body of Christ needs to have a better understanding and a biblical understanding of as we come to the table with these different issues that confront all of us today. These are topics that are very contemporary, and we're so grateful that we have an avenue by which we can discuss them and you can eavesdrop on the conversation. David, sometimes we return to previous topics when new developments come up. Now, a major story involving the gay rights agenda has taken up a lot of the news cycle over the last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
That's right. On May 26th, Governor Mike Pence, governor of Indiana, signed into law a bill that was called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and it was passed by the Indiana legislature 40-10. So it was an overwhelming passage of this bill, and it was designed to provide people protection who, in case they were taken to court, if they had been put into a position where they were required to violate their religious convictions when conducting business. So in other words, having religious convictions could be used as a defense in case of a lawsuit claiming discrimination. So that was the basis for the law.
Well, although the governor, Mike Pence, tried to clarify the law, and that said it was not attacking anyone particular, especially the LGBT community, and reaction to the law was incredibly fast and furious, both in Indiana and actually across the nation, wasn't it, David?
Actually, yes. It is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. For example, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo stopped all non-essential business travel to Indiana for government employees. The governor of Connecticut banned state-funded travel. Angie's List, you might be familiar with that, it's headquartered in Indianapolis. They halted a $40 million headquarter expansion plan. Charles Barkley called for the Final Four. The NCAA Final Four was just held in Indianapolis this past weekend. And Charles Barkley called for the Final Four to be moved from Indiana. The previous year winner of the Final Four, Connecticut University head basketball coach, they normally attend the Final Four. He refused to. Apple CEO Tim Cook, who is an openly gay man, tweeted his opposition. So it was brought in, and the media turned into a feeding frenzy with the media.
That's amazing, as this body of people, the gay community, can get and muster that many peoples and powerful peoples and organizations to make the response they did. Well, in response to the uproar, an amended version of the Indiana law has now been signed into law. But what did the original law have to say about refusal to offer goods and services to gays and lesbians or same-sex couples? How was it discriminatory, and what was changed in the amended version, David?
Well, the fact is, I've read the law as it originally stood, and it said nothing about sexual orientation, said nothing about gays, said nothing about lesbians, said nothing about doing business with same-sex couples. The law had nothing to do with that explicitly. It was simply to provide protection for someone who might be taken to court in case they were claimed to be discriminating. So there was no mention whatever. Now, what has happened is that now language concerning sexual orientation has been put in the amended version, and it was specifically addressed to those who are involved with religious institutions or those with ministry, not businesses. So what happened was, in the amendment, Christian business owners lost their original protection, and it just simply restated what is already true in United States law, that religious institutions are protected. So, in effect, it nullified what they had just done.
Well, hasn't, as you just mentioned, there been a Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act on the books for a long time?
Well, yeah, actually over 20 years. In 1993, Bill Clinton signed a law of this exact same title, Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It was introduced by Chuck Schumer, who is a congressman in New York. He introduced it into the House, and Ted Kennedy, who was also a Democrat, in Massachusetts introduced a companion bill into the Senate. The House unanimously passed the bill. The Senate almost was unanimous with just three votes against, and Bill Clinton signed it into law. Then in 1997, the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional to be enforced at the state level, so states had to pass their own versions, which 20 states have since done, including Illinois, where it had been supported by then-Senator Barack Obama. And then another 11 states interpreted their constitutions to say that the protection was already provided for in those constitutions. So there were already 31 states that had this.
Well, you know, with federal and state religious freedom laws already on the books, why did Indiana's law end up causing such a nationwide uproar?
I think it's simply an advance of the gay agenda in a militaristic fashion, keep pushing the envelopes, and Indiana just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And in fact, this law was seen coming through the legislature, and so opposition had been brewing for months, and activists were going after major Indiana employers like Cummins Engine Company, Eli Lilly, Alcoa, and others, and trying to put pressure on the Indiana legislature to oppose this and then to bring protests into effect if it were passed. And so the core issue across the nation has been providing services connected with gay weddings. For example, we've talked about this before, florists, photographers, bakeries, and because these aren't religious institutions but private businesses owned by believers. And some have suggested it was also a reaction to the Hobby Lobby win against Obamacare, again, concerning a private business objecting to providing abortive contraceptives on religious convictions. So it's a direct attack on Christianity specifically and business owners who take the Bible seriously.
David, I understand at least one business owner there in Indiana, who is a Christian, by the way, ended up being caught in the middle of this firestorm.
Well, that's true. There's a pizza place called Memories Pizza, owned by a father and a daughter. And in the context of this law being passed, they were being interviewed by a television station. They've never been asked to cater a gay wedding, but in the interview, they were set up and asked, if they were asked to cater a gay wedding, they were singled out as Christian business owners, would they cater that wedding? And they said no. It's not that they don't do business with gay people. That's not what any of this is. It's not about doing business with individuals. It's about providing goods and services for a specific event, which is a totally different issue than discrimination against individuals. But the two things have been conflated, and it's a tragic story. There have been death threats. They had to shut down their business. But fortunately, there have been many donations pour in, almost $1 million, over $800,000 in donations poured in to help them, including some money from gays who see that their rights have been violated.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Well, there's an irony in all of this. Businesses across the country have signs on their doors as you go in. I've seen them many, many times, which say, no shirt, no shoes, no service. So it's already established that businesses can refuse to offer goods and services to individuals in specific circumstances.
Well, of course that's true. And think about this. And not only that's directed at individuals, that's not directed at an event, but let's say that a group wanted to have some posters printed at a printing company that was owned by a gay couple, and the poster simply said, "We support traditional marriage." What would happen? You know, would this uproar have happened if gay couple refused to print these on the same basis? I don't think so. So again, it's targeted.
Yes,
and it's hypocrisy.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say that it seems more than a little hypocrisy going on here.
Right. You could go down the list. You know, if the Ku Klux Klan wanted to have a cake made or one of their events catered by a black business in order to cause an uproar, what would happen? You know, you put these test cases all the time. People can refuse as private business owners to deal with certain events and specific situations while still avoiding the issue of discrimination against individuals. They're two different issues.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, this all seems about something more than just culture wars. Biblically, we would expect all of this to happen in the end times, would we not, David?
We absolutely would. You know, as Paul, and we've talked about this before, in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the downward spiral of humanity over time as mankind suppresses the truth, God's truth in unrighteousness. And the bottom rung of the spiral, the downward spiral, heads toward a society that openly embraces men with men, women with women, abandoning the natural use of the bodies that God has created. And this is where we're heading. History is hurtling toward the end times, and this is simply one of the symptoms. And the other symptom is that Bible-believing Christians who trust in Christ, believe in the Bible, are being marginalized and, in some parts of the world, being killed for their beliefs and faith.
Don't take our word for it, folks. Go to Romans chapter 1, and with an open heart, open mind, read through that chapter. Determine exactly what it is saying, especially to the body of Christ, and focused on the end times. David James with another conversation, focusing on an issue that needs to be discussed among we as Christians, and get to the bottom line, what does God's Word say all about this issue? David, thank you so very much. We'll have another conversation next week.
You're welcome. Glad to be with you.